Good evening. This is Stephen Otero speaking, and you're listening to Mondo Eros on bbsradio.com. And we are back tonight with new original programming, and I have a wonderful couple with me tonight, and we're going to talk about their website. And what I'd like to ask you all who are listening to me now is, I know you all dream, but do you live your dreams? Well, my guests tonight live their dreams. They are the creator of Cassidy.com, which I think is a beautiful website, which is devoted to swinging and or the lifestyle. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome both Scott and Nicoletta to the broadcast.
Thank you much. Happy to be here.
Hey, hotties.
Hi.
Hey, Stephen. How are you?
I'm very good. How are you?
Wonderful. Just getting ready for a big party on Saturday and excited to be here.
Oh, glad. And just so that, well, since the cat is out of the bag right now, yes, we are on tape. We're being recorded for the broadcast tonight because of that party.
Sorry about that.
No, well, hey, we're happy to have you here. And I just, again, want to compliment both of you on the site. It's just such a really beautiful site.
Thank you. A lot of time and effort has gone into it.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And what I love about it, and, you know, I'm here to say that I am a member. I belong to it. This is just, there's just so much that's here. I particularly love all the articles and the interviews. I'm looking at one right now called In the Beginning, The Evolution of Swinging. And it's just really, this is just really well done. It's well worth joining. If only you're just going to read the articles.
That's what I used to tell my dad, too.
That's an old
joke. The articles
joke.
Are good. We take a, we're very proud of the online magazine because
yes,
a lot of people expected us to come out with something that was pornographic, and of course it isn't. It's sex positive. But
yes,
it encompasses everything from interviews of Dr. Susan Block and travel agents, things on Republican swingers, Christian swingers, features of things such as the exotic erotic ball in San Francisco, the famous Halloween party.
Yes.
You name it, we touch on it, and we're, you know, we're very happy with the way it comes together. We've gotten very good buzz in our, I guess you can call it an industry, but in our community.
Yes, and you also have an interview with one of my favorite writers, Terry Gould, who wrote a wonderful book called The Lifestyle.
Yep, he is considered the father of the lifestyle. He is really the guy who helped popularize it.
Yeah, it's such a, like I say, a wonderful, and of course I have to say, I have to mention, your couple of the month feature, and especially this month's couple of the month, Dick and Jane, who are two friends of mine.
Yeah, they're terrific.
And I think it's actually through them that I first heard about you.
Okay, great.
And really just
everything
great.
In this community really is word of mouth. We don't do a lot of advertising, and most people don't. If you find the site, it's probably, if you're on the site, then you know about it, and you should be there. If you don't know about it, then you probably shouldn't.
Well, what I'd like to start with is that the beginning of both your stories, so I'm interested, Scott, how did you get involved in the lifestyle?
Like most people, and by most I mean a little over 60-65% of the people, it was a girl that introduced me to it. You know, as you probably know, most people are led into the lifestyle by the females, not by the guy.
Yes.
And when I was in Newport Beach and dating a variety of girls, one of the girls I was dating said, who was very, very sexual, said, you know, there's this club that I like to go to. What do you think about this? And that opened my eyes and rolled with it ever since.
Wow. So as which is contrary to what a lot of people think, this is not essentially a male-dominated institution.
Right. It's definitely not. You know, guys in general, we're terrified to talk sex, even with our wives. Communication is tough. So I think a lot of guys, the reason that more guys don't leak couples into the lifestyle is because the husbands are just terrified to talk, or the boyfriends are terrified to talk about it. So the girl finally goes, you know, I've been looking around online, and I kind of discovered this. What do you think? And the guys are going, oh, cool.
And then comes that moment.
Yep.
It's also explained by how many girls are bisexual, I think.
Yes.
And that's another lead into the swinging lifestyle, because there are no other avenues, really, for bisexual girls to pursue. So it's very natural for girls to lead in, I guess.
Well, then let me ask you then, Nicoletta, from your perspective, how did you get into the lifestyle?
Oh, it was quite a story. Of course, after I met Scott, we're in New York dating, and, you know, every time we're walking on the street or sitting on the in the restaurant, he would notice that I was checking out all the girls going in and out and by me, and I wasn't really checking their shoes, really.
I wasn't looking at the shoes.
So one time he asked me if I would like to go to a dungeon, and I was like, what? I didn't even know what a dungeon was, you know, a little bit of a translation problem there too, I guess. And after he explained to me and showed me online, you know, I was like, well, yeah, sure, I'll give it a try.
She was titillated.
It,
but nervous.
Nervous, well, very nervous, because the way the setup was very, I would say, scary at the beginning, really, because they didn't really, the place we went to, they didn't give us a address. They said, you know, meet us at such and such a street, and when you get there, call us on your cell phone, and we'll check you out and be on the northeast corner and, you know, hold your hand up or something to give a signal. And I was so scared because I was like, you know, I've known this guy for 2-3 months and I'm going to a place where I don't even know where I'm going. And I didn't tell anybody, and what if I disappear, and what if, you know, I never come back, nobody's going to find me in downtown New York, of course.
But then we went, she had a great time.
And it was amazing. It was the best place, and we just, you know, that was our first experience, and it was just very erotic, and finally I could open up myself and be, you know, more relaxed with my sexuality. And after that, it was just an easy road, I would say.
I suggested we try going to a swing club here in Denver because I'd recently moved here. And after a few times, she found that people were generally people that we meshed with. They were younger, they were attractive, they were educated, they were traveled, and it wasn't the typical view of swingers. And I was like, wow, these people are really nice, and they're like normal people, only more uninhibited and less repressed. How cool. And she had, you know, she had a good time, and she had a few good experiences, and it kind of went from there.
And I may, my best friends are now from the lifestyle, because it's so easy to communicate with people in the lifestyle, and they're so friendly and happy, and nobody's judging, and nobody's jealous, and, you know, it's just all very happy life.
You know, that's something that I have observed the last several years working for Sexy Spirits whenever I come involved with swingers or people in the lifestyle. I never know what to actually say. As, is it okay to say swinger, swinging, or is lifestyle preferred?
A lot of people don't like the label swinger because it conjures up 70s key parties and indiscriminate sex. But you kind of got to call a spade a spade. We're swingers. And I'd love for there to be another label, but there isn't. And, you know, we laugh because a lot of our friends are, or we'll meet people who are very sexual, and they'll say, no, we're not swingers. We fuck our friends when we travel with them or our neighbors, but we don't swing. Like, yeah, okay. They just don't want the label.
Exactly. Exactly. But I have to, you know, everyone who I've ever met has always been very nice, extremely intelligent, very happy people. The times I've been to events, and I'm generally there working in some capacity, I've always enjoyed it. And whenever we've had our own club tantra parties, we call them, which is they're swing parties, but we try to create a tantric theme. It's always a very nice experience, and I always feel that people who are swingers, lifestylists, people who are into polyamory, I think they're one notch above in the sense of intelligence, but I also think that they're very close, if not actually what one could call enlightened, if you want to use that term, if you want to get highfalutin.
Well, there are people who have looked in the mirror and said, am I happy, and what are the parts of me that aren't happy, and often that has to do with sexuality or the ability to just express yourself and communicate, and there are so many taboos that you can't do that, and once you break those taboos, once you get over that repression, you really are happier.
Yes. Well, let me ask you, how did you do that? What did you have to begin with?
Oh, I grew up in an extremely religious, conservative household. So I was fairly damaged by that, I guess. And that took a lot of years, some of it in therapy, to just come to grips with answering the question of who am I? What makes me feel fulfilled? And when I was able to get my mind wrapped around that, I was a happier person. And then, so when I was dating, and I was always dating a lot of people, I was single, so when a girl suggested that we go to a swing club, I was of an open mind at that point.
Excellent. Excellent. What were any particular technique? I know you must have gone through therapy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. A lot. You know, most people who escape things that have repressed them through their childhood and issues of family generally need to go through some therapy, either reading books to understand other points of view or going in being a therapist or a counselor or a psychologist. And there were no specific techniques other than reading things, seeing that I'm not the only, that my experiences in life aren't unique. Lots of other people had gone through them, and this is how they rose about them or how they made decisions and changes in their life, and realizing that the only one stopping me from making those changes was myself.
Right. Right. Excellent. And Nicoletta, what was, now you come from Europe, I believe.
I do, from Romania.
Ah, okay. So what was that like, first making the transition from Romania to New York, United States? Growing up, what were your experiences?
Well, I grew up under communism, so the country was closed. We didn't have any Western influence. The first time I think I saw a pair of blue jeans was when I was 16 or 17. So the life was very basic. You know, when you grow up like that, you don't know anything else, so you just take what you learn. And it was, you know, I had a very happy childhood, and life was great and beautiful. And then when the country opened up and I was able to travel, and when I moved to New York, it was obviously a big shock. It was an intense cultural shock.
Yes.
However, in terms of sexual experiences, or, you know, in Romania, sexuality is completely taboo. No, you don't talk about it. You don't, you know, you don't have sexual. Well, everybody has sex, obviously, but it's very taboo. You don't get sexual education. There isn't much to talk about, really.
But nudity is not a big deal, like on the beach.
Correct. And you would, like you mentioned, you would go to places and you see pictures of topless girls everywhere, and
yeah,
it's not a big deal.
You go to a kids' amusement park, and there's next to the kiddie ride, there, as advertising the kiddie ride, is a picture of paintings with topless girls, because that shows how fun and wild the ride is.
So when Scott introduced me to the lifestyle, was not that hard, really, to embrace the lifestyle, because, you know, I was very open with it. It was just, it actually was harder to talk about it, because I've never talked about sex with anybody, really. You know, with Scott, we started communication, and we started asking each other what we like and different things, and that was a little bit harder. But now that I've learned how to communicate, it's way better.
Fantastic. Did you always have feelings, let's say, of being bisexual?
On and off. I wouldn't say always. Obviously, when I see a super hot, tall girl, that, you know, that totally changes things on me. So, and
also
then
when you see a super hot, tall guy, though,
that's true. That's true. That's very true. So, those super hot, tall people out there, come look us up on Cassidy. Well, because I'm fairly tall, I'm 5'11", without heels. And it's like, I love tall people. It's like, I like to look up, not down. So, that's my thing. Or one of the things.
What led you to create Cassidy?
Well, I'm one of the original .com guys. I've been around a long time, so I understand the industry very well.
Yes.
Even during the Clinton administration, I was their liaison to Congress to teach them what the Internet was and everything.
Wow.
So a couple of years ago, we were sitting around, and we loved the lifestyle, and I have other businesses and projects that I do, and we decided to do a magazine because I'd run across guy by the name of Steve, who's our editor, and is famous for the Couple Doing It website, and built the magazine around him. And then we did that for about a year and got a lot of frustration about the lack of what we call Web 2.0, or social interaction.
Yes.
A functionality on the other swinger dating sites, quote-unquote, that are out there. And they just aren't built on good technology platforms. They don't have a lot of the features that I feel are important in a social community. And so we said, not so much that we can do better, it's just that there needs to be these things. It needs to exist. And since my team and I have the background in the technology, and obviously we have the passion for the lifestyle, we decided we'd go ahead and build it. And so we've put, close to $1 million into building this thing so far.
Wow.
And we don't even consider ourselves launched yet. We won't be launched for another 3 to 4 months. We're in beta.
Cool. Yeah, just going through it. I mean, I can just go through the different sections and just talk about the different sections you have here. That's a show in itself.
There's a lot there. As my engineers keep reminding me, I keep asking them to do the impossible in a limited amount of time. They go, look, Twitter and Facebook and all these other companies have hundreds of millions of dollars in venture capital and thousands of engineers coding, and they've taken years to do it, and I want it done by a few people in a couple of months. And then I go, yeah, your point is. It's called a startup.
Yes. I like this one here in the travel section. You will wish you were here.
Yep.
Just
that actually kind of goes to a funny point.
Uh-huh.
The first time I took Nicoletta, that was my first trip to a lifestyle resort, was down to Desire in Cancun. And she was grumpy that we were going down there. And as we're driving, as we get to Cancun, we're driving to the resort, and she turns to me, and she's really kind of been angry this whole time. And she goes, the only reason I'm doing this is because of you. I don't want to go here. I really don't want to be here. She thought it was going to be like this really cheesy experience. I don't know, Holiday Inn on a bad beach or something. And so we get to the, and that just shocked me. I was like, oh, man, because I thought we were doing this together. I didn't know she had a bad attitude about it. So anyhow, we get to Desire, and we walk into the lobby, and they hand us a champagne, and she's staring through the lobby at all the palm trees and the Caribbean or the Gulf of Mexico, the ocean, and the pretty buildings. And I haven't even checked in yet. And she turns around. She goes, I love it here. Can we come back? So when I say in the travel section, you'll wish you were here, that is the kind of emotion that people get hit with when they first go to a Desire or some of these other places. They just get there, and they already want to come back.
Yes.
And to see naked people around, they're hot and beautiful and nice, and it's so liberating.
I
love it. As a matter of fact, we're going back in October for our first Cassidy takeover.
Yep. October 10th through 17th is Cassidy's first annual Desire Cancun takeover.
Wow. So you're going to be running it then?
Well, travel agent's running it. We're branding
right.
it. And we're bringing a lot of people from the site. I mean, a lot of folks are signing up. It's going to be a hot crowd.
Fantastic. Yeah, it's just, again, I just have to really just compliment you. What a really well-done job.
Thank you.
Just absolutely gorgeous. And really just, I like all the other things you say about living the dream and just really nice little touches there.
And, of course, the very used slogan on the site, remember my name, you'll be screaming it later.
Yes.
We even have T-shirts of that on it.
Oh, fantastic. Wow.
Which we trademarked, so that's good.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
So you have to come and visit one of the Cassidy parties.
Yeah, that would definitely be a good intention.
Yeah, we do. We either host or sponsor a lot of amazing parties around the country.
Yes, and I believe you are. Now you're planning on moving, aren't you?
We are. We're moving to Vegas.
Oh, cool.
Vegas, baby.
Vegas.
And what happens in Vegas?
Goes all over the website.
Exactly. No. No.
Well, it seems to me that Vegas would be a good place for you to be. It seems to be that that would be more of a lifestyle-oriented town.
It is. It's a less inhibited town.
Mm-hmm.
Every hotel has clubs, the topless pools. There's a lot going on there and a lot of good people that live there. It's a great, great group.
Fantastic. That's really great. Where do you see the future going?
For Cassidy?
For Cassidy, for yourselves, for the lifestyle.
Well, the lifestyle, ever since the invention of the Internet, and the first site out there was Adult Friend Finder, commonly known as every swinger's first mistake. But that has like 30 million people that are a member of it now. It has grown from very little to estimated that there are over 50 million swingers around the world. And if you look at shows on Oprah and Dr. Phil and primetime television about swinging or just open sexuality, that people in general are becoming more and more aware of, more and more comfortable with, and more accepting of their sexuality. So a lot of times people like to use the word mainstream. I don't know if that's necessarily the right choice, but I think that swinging or just adventurous sexuality is going to continue gaining traction and momentum, and it is going to just get huge. You know, you see so many people. It used to be people started swinging in their early 30s. You see more and more people in their 20s
joining
the lifestyle now. And so it will continue to grow, and it will continue to get very large, and there will be all different avenues of sexual play, from fetishes to BDSM to voyeurism or exhibitionism to swinging, you name it. And so that just gets bigger, and we intend to continue to build Cassidy and have it be part of this movement, if you will. Cassidy will get huge.
Oh, absolutely. I can see that quite easily. I think that you have an incredible passion for it, and a real dedication to it.
So that's where we're going. It's our life. Like I said, we have other projects. I have other businesses, but those are really on the back burner for me. Everything, all of my waking hours, all of Nicoletta's waking hours, my team goes into Cassidy and things that are tangential to Cassidy, supporting the National Coalition for Sexual Freedom, supporting Free Speech Coalition, supporting other brand new people who are starting clubs, who are starting party promotion businesses, who are starting travel agencies, and helping them get off their feet and providing them with business advice as well as marketing avenues on Cassidy. So we're really part of the community, not just some business attaching ourselves to the community. You know, we exist because of it and to be part of it.
That's really fantastic.
That's us. And now we're getting ready for a party that we're hosting on Saturday, where we're going to have over 200 people here. It's our annual Midsummer Nights white party.
Uh-huh.
Everyone's going to be dressed up in next to nothing white. You should see the outfit that Nicoletta got.
Wow.
Hot.
And I had to work out for many months to fit in it.
There'll be an oyster bar and champagne and lots of play areas set up. black lights. It's going to be elegant and fun. Also exhausting for us.
Yeah, it must be because you're both playing and working simultaneously.
Yeah, we started setting up the party. We started buying things a couple of weeks ago. We started set up a couple of days ago so that by the time Saturday rolls around, we're not running around like crazy. And then,
right.
You know, we'll have a bartender and we'll have people at the door and pouring champagne, and we'll have other people that are helping out and doing things, so we don't have to do all of the work. You know, our goal is to get it set up. It's a huge amount of work, but do it beforehand so that we can relax as much as possible the day of the party, except I've got a list of catering places to run around to. And then so we can actually enjoy the party and not have to run around emptying trash and picking up messes and replenishing food and things.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd rather be screaming in a bedroom than screaming at someone for dropping a glass.
Right. Whenever we have the club tantra parties, my main mission there is to make sure that Anton is free to play, so I'm there, like, I'm the buffer there. All that stuff.
Yeah, you're like some of our friends that will be here helping us out.
Yes. But I always leave home. I always leave afterwards with money in my pocket, so that's rewarding.
Yeah.
Now, Nicoletta, what would be a message you have to women out there?
To just be who you are and do not deny and do not inhibit your sexuality, because so many women are so sexual out there, but they're either afraid of being who they are really, or they don't know where to go or what to do with it or how to act on it. And there's so many places and ways to just embrace the sexuality. And with the lifestyle, what's really wonderful is that women, as we talked about, women lead, and it's all about what women want.
Yes.
You know, it's not about the man at all. Well, it's about giving pleasure, about taking pleasure, whatever you love. But that's the most important thing, and that's why the lifestyle is so comfortable for all these people, because the women decide what's going on. You know, I get to decide who we're playing with, what I'm wearing that day, what club we're going to. You know, I get to decide when we leave, if we stay longer. I have all the power.
You get to decide what I'm wearing.
Pretty much. But what I'm saying, it's just so relaxed, and people in the lifestyle really respect the no. If you do not want to play with somebody, you just say no, and it's fine. People just, you know, move on. It's not hard to do. You don't have to do things you're not comfortable with.
Yeah.
And that's why I think it's the perfect place for girls, and that's why probably most of the couples come in the lifestyle, because of the wife or the girlfriend.
Yeah, they're always very nervous because they think that when they walk in the door of a swinger party that they're just going to be attacked, or the fear is the girl's just going to be attacked.
Yes.
And if anything, they're kind of like, God, nobody's paying attention to us. I thought we were worried about being attacked. Heck. Hard to get anyone to do anything. It's easy to engage a conversation, but the first shock is that, and the first thing that any girl should know is that when you walk in the door to the party, nobody's going to attach to you. Nobody's going to harass you. It's just very, very low-key and very respectful. And it's not about indiscriminate sex. If you don't have a connection with somebody, you don't have to play with them.
Right. A lot of times it's just conversations, getting to know people.
Oh, we've been to a lot of swinger parties where no sex has gone on. Mm-hmm. Swingers talk. Everybody thinks we fuck. We talk. We do fuck some, but we talk and talk and talk. That's why swingers generally don't like to go to clubs or in the, what we call in Europe, discos, because they're too loud. You can't have a conversation.
Right.
When we're in Vegas, we like to go to the lounges, not the clubs. At a lounge, you can talk.
Because so much, actually, in the lifestyle is mental.
Between the ears.
Right. And it's a lot, I mean, it has to be, a physical attraction, but even then, there's just so much. And you, it's so interesting, because you have to learn pretty much again, if you've been married for a while, you have to learn how to flirt and how to date again. And it's really interesting. And I love it, because imagine the butterflies you had when you were dating.
Yes.
When you were young or anytime you were dating. Well, you get those butterflies again in the lifestyle. And I just love that feeling.
Really?
I love it, yes. And, well, when you go and you finally get to meet, you get to meet people you really like and you're attracted to, and you start talking to them, and it builds up. And, that sensation, I love. I love it. It's like, that's why I'm in the lifestyle.
Fantastic.
So it's, imagine the dating years again.
Right, but it's a dating that's, I would say, it's like on a different level. It's a much more, I think, it's definitely more intense.
It is more intense. Plus you take the jealousy out, because in lifestyle people are not jealous. So
how do you
don't
do
have that,
though?
Well, you just tell yourself, hey, at the end of the night, my husband is coming home with me. He's not going home with any of these other girls. Plus, when we go home, we have the best sex ever. Actually, when we play, that's not what is the top of the night. The best moment of the night is when we go home and me and my husband have sex. That's the best. Oh,
wow.
My God, that's wild, because we're thinking about all the touching and flirting and kissing from before, and that turns us on big time.
Yeah, you
wow.
may feel some twinges of jealousy, but it is completely overruled by two things. One is just, relax, it's just sex, and the other is the desire you have for your spouse or your boyfriend or girlfriend just goes through the roof after that.
Wow.
Like
that's something
scary.
that was covered in the book, the book The Lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
There's an interesting thing in there about how the jealousy, for men anyway, you can somehow use that to trick your body into making, let's say, the refractory period lessen, that you can use that to somehow trick the body.
I've heard that. I guess I've seen that. everyone, when it comes to the refractory period, especially for guys, everyone is different, but it is true. The more turned on you are, then the more likely you are to quickly want to jump back in the saddle, so to speak.
Right. Now, that's an interesting thing, the whole question of turn on and allowing yourself to have that and to like really to experience what's that like to be so turned on that you can, have sex, pop once, and then be ready to go again. It's like, whoa. I mean, and this is, of course, that one has not taken something. That this is just happening naturally.
Right. Well, it's you know, for guys, it's not just about getting hard on. You can take Viagra and
right.
have sex all night long, but it's about the, you know, being able to climax, being able to have an orgasm. And that
right.
is so mental that you can take care of the physiological thing with a drug, but to be able to actually reach climax, that is mental, and you've really got to be turned on.
Right. What's that? What does that feel like?
To be turned on.
To be that turned on, to be able to let yourself go like that. I think that's probably, I don't know if many people have experienced that. To have that kind of freedom and to have that kind of a turn on.
Well, you know, there are times like where you can be so turned on and so into a situation where you lose complete sense of time, place, anything. You are in another state, and this would probably be one of the things in Tantra that you guys experience
yes.
for your group, is that you actually are in a place that is so amazing and feels so good that you can, all your senses, everything about your body is completely lit up, and you just go with it, and you don't even know necessarily what you're doing or what's happening, but it just feels good, and you're enjoying it, and it's beautiful, and you're happy, and it's a point where time stands still.
Cool.
That's what it's like to be insanely turned on and into a situation.
How is that for you, Nicoletta?
Apparently, I scream a lot. And apparently, I scream very loud. And I say apparently because when I get into that state, I don't really remember much. Obviously, I don't remember the screaming much, and I can hit this super high pitch and I go on and on forever. But I just, you know, I mean, it's the feeling after, because I remember the feeling after my climax, I would say is. Climaxes, yes. The feeling I have after that is that my body is so light and it's just I'm floating or I'm just resting on a bed of clouds. And so I just feel very, very light and relaxed, and don't ask me to get up and get dressed and go somewhere after that because I won't. I can't. My body doesn't respond. I can't move my body, really. It's just I'm in that relaxation stage that no massage therapist ever achieved. So, you know, since I discovered how good it feels, I just, when I want to be relaxed, I just go and have sex and make sure I get an orgasm. And that's my relaxation therapy. I just love it.
I think that's one. I think to me that's Tantra. That to me is I applaud you both for being so open about that, so honest about that. That, you know, I think that's exactly where it is when you reach those kind of levels. I just think that's amazing.
It is, and it's great. I mean, if you cannot achieve it yet, you just gotta let go of all your stresses and not think about, you know, the work and that, you know, you didn't water your plants or something. It's that you really have to just let it all go and just enjoy the moment. You cannot think in the future, in the past. You really have to just stay in the moment with that to achieve it, I think.
That's, to me, that's perfect Zen training right there.
Yes. Because if I look on the ceiling and I see that, you know, the ceiling is not painted perfectly or something, I'm not in the moment. So it's, and it doesn't always happen. I mean, it's a combination. There's so many factors that sometimes you want it to happen. And I, you know, sometimes I bring my entire toy collection and try every one, and I don't get to that stage. So
yeah, that's not the every time. That's just the ultimate.
Right, it is the ultimate.
You know, sex is still fun, and sex is great, even if it's not, you know, you're not in the ultimate emotional place, because sometimes you can't be. There's too many external factors going on. You know, it could be things at home that are causing you some anxiety. It could be people in the room or nearby that are talking, or music that's playing, or lighting that's not right, or something. And you still have great sex, but you don't have that ultimate level that is just so phenomenal when you can actually hit it.
Wow. Now, I would say probably everything that you have experienced, everything that you have seen, do you think that that is why sometimes people would say outside forces want to kind of like negate swinging? Because they don't want people to feel that good?
Oh, no, that's just, you know, outside forces all have their own control agenda.
Mm.
Whether it's, you know, everyone, you know, as I say, everyone is a swinger. What varies is their level of repression.
Mm.
And generally the people who are most against something are the people who are the freakiest behind closed doors.
Yes.
And whether that's the preacher who's sleeping with different members of his flock, or the you know, talk show host that has, you know, gay escorts or whatever. You know, everyone is, humans are sexual. That is not by definition. That is by heredity. It is by DNA. We are wired that way. Humans are sexual. So the people who deny it the most and who take the most action against it are just the people who are the most repressed and actually have the most in their closet to hide.
Right.
That's my take on it.
So the reason we know Cassidy is going to grow big, because everybody is a swinger in the world.
That's what we believe.
I think that absolutely, I agree with you on that. I just think it's going to really, really, really take off. I'm really happy to see it.
Oh, thanks. It's fun. I've tried a lot. I've been in a lot of different businesses throughout my career, and this is the most fun by far.
Right.
Because we make amazing friendships in the lifestyle, and we have the best vacations and meet the nicest and very smart people and educated. And the average swinger, or what we had different statistics, but like 60% of swingers have college and graduate degrees. And it's amazing how high that is.
Well, and 70-some-odd percent find life as exciting compared to 30% of the regular population. So who do you want to hang around? People who have a positive outlook on life and find it exciting? Or people who are freaking bored and watch TV all their life?
Right. Right.
So did we convince you?
Now, of course, listening to the radio is a good thing to do. It's a very good way to spend some time. Turn the tube off. Turn the radio on.
Yeah. Or in my case here, turn your internet speakers up.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, just put the headphones when you're at work.
Actually, that's like what Steve does. He just works that way with the internet radio or other things going on in his background.
Yep. So did we convince everybody to become a swinger now?
I think so.
I think you need to look in the mirror and admit it.
I think it's just it's people acknowledging it and being willing to let that part of themselves come forward.
Yes, we agree.
It's,
exactly.
And so also, you're also getting more involved with travel, too.
Well, we're not involved ourselves so much. We have the first annual takeover of Desire Cancun coming up in October for Cassidy and our members. But generally, we create an environment where travel agencies and club owners who are doing travel events, whether it's a camping trip or a trip to France or something like that, or Mexico or Jamaica or wherever, Dominican Republic, we give them a forum where they can publish those events and parties and then promote them. We get people to help fill up the trips, put groups together. And some do this in a public way where anybody can go on a cruise or go to Jamaica or go to Mexico. Or private, very, very exclusive groups of people who are like-minded. Either, you know, they're younger or they're older or they enjoy certain fetishes or whatever. So it's a more exclusive group of people that like to travel together. And we're the forum for them.
But now, have you ever been to Burning Man?
We have a lot of people going to Burning Man. Nicoletta and I were hoping to go, but we can't because of trying to close the house in Vegas. But there are a lot of folks from Cassidy that will be out at Burning Man. We don't
have
our
own
village
there?
This year. Mae next year.
We have not been there before. Now that we moved to Las Vegas, we're going to be there from now on.
Oh, cool.
Are you going out?
Unfortunately, I can't. My travel ability is a little restricted at the moment. But I do know people who do go there, and we do have a pretty large Burning Man community here in the city where people do have like Burning Man style parties and events.
Nice.
Of course, you can't duplicate the desert here in New York, but they can try and bring a little something. Were you down recently at one of Lola's events?
We weren't. Our club relations team, Emily and Sergio, were there.
Uh-huh.
And Emily accepted the award for Cassidy as the best new site.
Oh, great.
And she had a blast. Lola is absolutely fabulous to work with. And, you know, we like helping her promote her events, and we're honored that we won the award.
Fantastic. Yeah, I've been communicating with her, but I have not yet actually met her.
Yeah, she's great. She's fantastic. Total bundle of energy.
Yes.
So we do plan on coming to New York soon, and we hope to meet you in person as well.
Yes,
I would love to have you come. Love to have you come see a Sexy Spirit event and maybe even do some kind of an evening there.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
We'd love that. You know, we want to come out to New York and go to, go visit your group, visit the folks at Role Play Lounge, and visit the folks at
Hedo Online
and
yes.
Some of the other clubs and organizations that we work with, and really get to know people face-to-face.
Oh, absolutely, and I extend you an invitation to come to Sexy Spirits, and love to have you do an evening there, or maybe
thanks.
An interview.
Love that. Yeah, absolutely, we're in.
It would be great.
And of course, you have to come and party in Vegas, baby.
Absolutely. Absolutely. One of these days I gotta see Vegas.
Yeah, Vegas is awesome.
It is.
Well, I think that's been absolutely fantastic. I'm so glad that you were on the show tonight. And I just want
to thank you for having
me. You. And,
thank you.
Please, everybody, go to Cassidy, Cassidy.com.
K-A-S-I-D-I-E. Cassidy with a K.
Cassidy with a K. Cassidie.com. It's very simple to remember to get there. And you're also on Facebook as well.
We are. Well, we don't use it that much because every time I post something, I get feedback from people that are like, oh, no, my people in my work or my church or my kids saw what you posted and it went on my wall. And Facebook is such a vanilla enterprise. Can't wait.
I know. People say that to me, too. Oh, no, please don't put the events there. I said, okay, don't worry. I'm not going to send anything to you anyway then. You know, just communicate with you through email.
We want people to get off of off of Facebook and onto Cassidy.
Yes. Yes. Everybody go and join Cassidy. And once again, I just want to thank Scott and Nicoletta so much for being here. I really appreciate it, and I appreciate you having me on Cassidy.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
Thank you, and thanks for having us on the show. And
hope to see you in New York soon.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, Stephen, well, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks to everybody listening.
Yes.
And have a great night.
You too. And especially as we will be broadcasting, you have a fantastic party.
Yeah, thanks. We'll do. Looking forward to it.
And I want to thank everybody for listening tonight. And we will be back next week with more original programming. This is Stephen Otero speaking. And you have been listening to Mondo Eros on bbsradio.com. Thank you, and good evening.